Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're a digital nomad already on the road or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant resources and insights to keep you on the road for dozens of years. And today we're gonna send you my regards from Odessa in the Ukraine. We're gonna have an interview I did 2 years ago, way before we started the podcast, with Wandering Earl. Earl Derek Barron, great guy. Hope you enjoy. With us is Earl Derek Barron, and he's one of my favorite travel bloggers with the blog wanderingearl.com. I'm just going to give a quick intro based on what I know about Earl. For me, he's one of the most prominent travel bloggers. I'll say specific stuff about him. He's been on the road for more than 5,000 days, which is pretty amazing. Most travel bloggers have been around for about 2 or 3 years, so here we have something that lasts for a long time. So Earl, I don't know if you had a chance to look at Become Nomad, but basically Become Nomad is all about the lifestyle, and here you do something really interesting as for permanent nomadic thing that lasts for how many years already?
It's been a good 14 years now.
That's amazing. So we always ask the question, can you, as a nomad, have this lifestyle lasting for long? And you're proof that you can do it. And I'll just say that I met Earl in Brasov for coffee in Romania, and it was great fun. So basically, Earl, what did I miss in my introduction that is, important for a nomadic lifestyle? Let's say the main feature that I see here is the plus 5,000. If you would have to define something else other than, let's say, the places you've been, what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, first, I think when you look at a nomadic lifestyle, you can't look at it as I want to travel for 10 years. It doesn't work. It doesn't exactly work that way. You sort of have to piece it together from different aspects. So what I always like to say now is that I've been, you know, overseas. I've been traveling, working, living, volunteering, and studying overseas for the last 14 years. And that sort of defines what this lifestyle is about. You sort of have to figure out what you want to get out of the lifestyle, and then you piece it together. It's not just pack your bag and go on a permanent vacation. You do have to work hard, you do have to put things together, and there's different ways to make it happen, volunteering, whether it's working or, you know, studying. There's so many different ways, and I think that's kind of how you have to look at it in a much broader picture, instead of just saying, I'm going to go travel for the rest of my life, because that, unfortunately, as lovely as it sounds, that's not too realistic to just be bouncing around the world for your entire life. That is much harder to achieve. So I think that's how you have to look at it. But if you look at it that way, as there are many different ways I can put this together, I can do this for some time, I can do this for some time, and it'll all come together and create a life that you want, that does involve being, you know, exploring this world of ours. And I think that's the best way to start off, to look at it, that you're piecing it together, and then that's how you can make it happen.
That's cool. And we actually talked about it earlier, and it seems like there are because we say nomadic lifestyle, but if you do a quick check and talk to a few nomads, and you're the first one for this interview, but I intend to bring more, hopefully we're going to see that although we all define ourselves as nomads, each of us has totally different lifestyle in a way.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone has a different lifestyle. And I think when people hear the word nomad, you automatically think, each person is constantly moving around. I mean, that's, you know, nomadic life. I'm just moving around. But that's really not how it goes. You're not constantly moving around. If you actually look at, you know, the word nomad, I mean, it comes from all different, you know, tribal peoples that would move around for a season or for a period of time and then pick up and go and move to the next place. And that's sort of how you have to do it. I think the main thing to think about is that it is possible, but there are a million ways to make it happen. If you, like you said, if you contact 10 people right now who are living this lifestyle, there's no way two people are doing it the same way. And, you know, that's intimidating for a lot of people, but at the same time, it's very good news, because that means there are a million ways to make it happen. You just, you know, the hardest part is just taking that first step and believing that you can make it happen. But there really are so many ways, and it's incredible how many ways you can make it happen. I mean, ways that you would never have thought of ever. But there, you can do it. And I think it's great. You know, you contact a lot of people and you see how everyone's doing. It gives you more ideas, and slowly you start to believe that there's a way for you to make it out there as well.
That's great. So I'll move to a question that bothers a lot of people, because you know, for us, I also been on the road for more than 3 years now, and for us it looks like we understand this lifestyle, but sometimes you receive some questions from some people that are it looks like they're a little bit confused. And they say the following, more or less: how do I know that I have a nomadic spirit, let's say? So if someone asks you, should I go for it, or should I go for a lifestyle on the long run of changing places, how, and they care about is it a good move or not a good move, what would you advise them?
I say first, it's not a good move or a bad move. It's a move. And if you really feel that there might be a part of you that really wants to get out there and explore the world and to live this lifestyle, there's nothing wrong with trying it. You might as well try it. I mean, that, you know, if you try it, you know, I always look at what can happen. What could be the worst possible thing that could happen? I mean, nothing. I mean, the worst possible thing is you don't like it. You go home and you get back into a normal lifestyle and you get a job and you go back to your other option in life. So I think if someone really feels, if they want to do it because they feel like it's a great way to escape from whatever's going on with them back home, maybe it's not the best option. But if someone really has this, you know, feeling deep inside that they want to see this world, they want to meet the people that live in faraway places, that they want to learn from other cultures, that they want to try and be a little more free out there and create something on their own, if you have that feeling, then I personally believe you owe it to yourself to go and try it. I mean, it might work, it might not work. I mean, you might get out there and things might change and you realize it's not for me. But if you don't try, you'll never know. And, you know, a big word in all these discussions is always regret. I mean, of course, at the end of life, you'd much rather say, well, I tried and I gave it a shot, than, man, I wonder what would have happened if I tried. I mean, you don't want to say that. So, you know, you definitely, if you feel it inside a little bit, even a little bit, you just need to give it a try and see if it's for you.
That's great. That's great advice. Something related to this point, because I've seen that the story, I have to say that my story basically was, things didn't work out, and I always had a dream of being a nomad. Your story is a little bit different, because from what I've seen, you pretty much decided that you're going for a 3 month vacation in Asia, which lasts more than 14 years now. Which again brings us to the point you talked about. You just went for it and you saw that, that it works, and then you decided to push it further. And I wanted to ask you, were there any signals, let's say, before you took this jump of those 3 months, that now, when you think about it in retrospective, you can say, yeah, that was a really good sign that this lifestyle is indeed for me. I could have known back then. And I'm asking that because, again, lots of the crowd is a little bit confused, and I do want to give them some tips about, hey, if this happened to you, you might be...
Hey, look, I can say right now, it's much easier to determine to have that feeling that this lifestyle might be for you. 14 years ago, there was almost nobody, you know, nobody working online, that or nobody creating online businesses that they could, you know, work from on the internet and move around from place to place. So for me, I love travel. I knew I loved travel because we used to, you know, I studied abroad in Australia. I a few trips, you know, with my family. We used to even just travel around the U.S. and I loved even just traveling around the U.S. to a different state just to see something different. I absolutely loved it. However, I had no idea this lifestyle would be for me because I didn't know that it was an option. At that time, I didn't know a single person who was living this kind of a lifestyle where they were not living in their home country, where they were out there just moving around for finding ways to earn money and living in different parts of the world, traveling quite a lot. I knew nobody. I had no idea that it was even possible. And luckily these days, if you have that feeling that you love travel, that you want to be out there, you want to experience the world, that you want to maybe work online or create something for yourself without, you know, the normal business structure or normal office structure back home, then now you do have a sign. Now you can actually go and go onto travel blogs, you can go onto websites, you can go read the stories of other people who are doing it. And if you're completely motivated after reading their stories, then that's a good sign that it's for you as well. If you read their stories, because, you know, you have to look at a lot of people, because you don't want to just look at blogs or people who just say that the lifestyle is 100% amazing. You want to look for honesty. You want to look at it from all sides. There's challenges, there's downsides, but of course, there's an incredible amount of benefits. So you want to see the whole package. What does this lifestyle really involve? And if you're completely motivated, that you really feel that you want to give it a shot yourself, that's a great sign that this lifestyle is for you. I unfortunately didn't have that just because nobody was doing it back then, and it wasn't until I got to Southeast Asia that I started to meet a couple people, and even then it was pretty basic. I remember the first guy I met, Cambodia, he just taught English in Cambodia. He'd been teaching English in different parts of the world for like 4 years. I had never heard of that. I thought it was crazy. I couldn't believe that somebody was able to earn money by teaching English for 4 years and live overseas. So that's what started to get me excited. But again, now you have all these websites everywhere you can go, and you have real life examples that you can, you know, that you can see right there on the computer. And you can, if you get motivated from reading their stories, and you feel like you want to do the same, then this lifestyle is definitely something that could be for you.
That's great, great. The next question would be, since we talk about this lifestyle. I would like to ask you if you, well, we actually pretty much know the answer, but you didn't define yourself as a nomad when you started. And the question is, when did this become an official lifestyle for you? You can think about a point where you said, okay, that's it.
To be honest, it became an official lifestyle to me when I realized that I could actually be self-sufficient, that I could actually earn money, that I could actually save money just like people, that I could do everything that people were doing back home in their normal life while traveling around at the same time. So that's when it sort of became official. In the beginning, I was teaching English in Thailand, making very little money, of course, enough to survive there, but just enough to survive there. And, you know, then I even worked on a cruise ship for a little bit, but I was in a lower position and just kind of save money. Then right after the contract finished, I took off and spent it all traveling around, went back for another contract, you know, so it started to do that for quite a few years. But then when I realized one day, you know what, I can't just keep earning, spending, that's not very, you know, it's not a good long-term strategy. That's when I started to realize, okay, how can I build something or create something or do something that'll give me a little more of a cushion? That's when I worked hard to get a promotion. I worked as a tour manager on cruise ships, which was a great position. I started to save some money. I started to realize, wow, with this experience, I can do so many other things around the world. I then started working online. Things started going well. I was like, wow, now I actually have proper, you know, I've created something that's actually allowing me to live. It's allowing me to save money, I can still travel whenever I want. That's when I started looking at it as this is a lifestyle, because now I wasn't struggling. I wasn't just spending every, you know, dollar that I earned. I was actually, to me, that was the definition of the lifestyle, that I'm actually able to live it, to save, to do all these things, but while traveling as well. So that's sort of the turning point was about, which would have been about 7 years ago or so, when I started to, you know, really do well with the cruise ship, and really then turn that into the online work, and it's a lifestyle. I'm able to survive completely on my own and do well. So
amazing. Yeah, so it only took you 7 years then to
understand. Yeah, that's the thing, and I have to be honest, it also has to do with the internet and the other people doing it, because I would say those first 7 years, like, there still weren't many people doing it. I mean, there were slowly more and more people that were managing to, say, work online or something like that, but it was still in its infancy. So It wasn't until, again, I started reading more stories of people who were working online or doing other things that I, you know, creating businesses online, all these things that I started to be like, wow, I could do that too. So, I mean, it makes sense to me now that it took that long, because for those first 7 years, the main options were, you know, teaching English, working at a resort, which are great options. It just so happened that things started to change with the online stuff.
That's cool. Actually, I'll just say something personal. I started this lifestyle 3 years ago, and I have to say that I did some searches and found nothing. Now I understand that there was a lot of information out there, but I would never think about going to travel blogs, because travel blogs by definition were not something that I wanted to do. I wasn't into traveling. So I went into actually business forums and tried to understand, is someone doing it? This thing about keep on changing locations. And I have to say that 3 years ago, although there are so many guys that were doing it already, I felt like I would be the only one. So it's pretty interesting to see that even now with all this abundance of information, you're not searching for the right keywords.
And also it's over information. There's so much information there that it's like, you can easily get lost and just be like, okay, whatever, you know, it is hard, yeah. You do need to find the right keywords, and I think, I mean, all it takes is one person. That's the best way. You can find one person who's doing it, contact them, get in touch with them, and then they can, boom, suddenly it opens up a whole world, and hopefully they can lead you to other people as well. But yeah, it's still not completely easy.
That's great. I want to ask you, since we're talking about this lifestyle for so long, this is something I'm also struggling with, the definition of a nomadic lifestyle. Or let's say, how do you know if someone is nomadic or not nomadic? So I'm actually thinking about, let's say, some kind of a quantification of how do you define a nomad? Let's say if I've been living in Israel for 6 months and then I went to India for 6 months, what would you say, or does it have to be someone that moves from one place to another every week, or do you have any idea of how to define what makes someone a nomad?
Well, I mean, to be honest, first in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can be, if you fit, you know, it's just a term. It's not going to get you any benefits if you fall in the category of nomad or you don't fall into the category of nomad. So as long as you're living the life that you want, then I think that's, you know, that's perfectly fine. But in terms of the nomad, if you want to get specific with the word, I would say, you know, as long as you can survive and you're moving around, it doesn't matter. I mean, I would say if you go and move into Thailand and you stay in Thailand, and, you know, say you're from whatever, from Israel, and you move to Thailand, you stay in Thailand, but, you know, all year long, that's probably not so nomadic because you're staying in one place. But even if you're moving around to two places a year, I would say that's nomadic. I mean, you're moving around. It's not much different than nomads of way back when, who just, you know, again, stayed for a long season in one place and then moved to the next. So I would say as long as you're moving a little bit, then you're a nomad. I don't think you have to move every week or anything like that, because that's not actually what nomads did. So I would say, yeah, I mean, as long as you move a little bit, then you'd be classified as a nomad.
That's great. Next question would be about in my blog we talk a lot about attachment as the major enemy of a nomad, which is, again, I'm not saying it's something bad, I always push people to say, if you found an amazing attachment, and by attachment I mean the most amazing relationship or the job that makes you happy or whatever, go for it. And my question for you is during these 14 years, you don't have to be specific in telling exactly the situation, did you have some kind of an attachment? Again, attachment could be anything. It could be a relationship or a home you really liked or a job that you, but something that tied you to the same place. During those 14 years, was there a point where you were close to saying, okay, this attachment is worth changing my lifestyle into a more, you know, stable lifestyle in a way?
Well, I mean, I can look at it in two ways. First, the first one was actually the last cruise line that I worked for. I was a tour manager. The position was amazing. The pay was incredible. The privileges was unbelievable. We were going to incredible places. I had that position for as long as I wanted. If I wanted to stay for 20 years, I could have. And a lot of people do that. And I did debate with myself, because it's the kind of position where you work for about 15 years, you can pretty much retire. And that's what a lot of people do. So I did have a debate. Do I try? And I loved every minute of being on the ship. So I kind of had that debate. Do I just say, forget this, forget the travel, the other traveling, independent traveling? Do I just stick with this cruise line and this be my career? I'll be on the ship, you know, about 8 to 10 months per year, or 9 to 10 months per year, and make my money, and in 15 years, is, I'll be all set. Do I do that? So that was one where I did have to debate. In the end, I realized that there was just too much out there in the world that I wanted to do, and that being on the ship would limit me. So, but that was a very hard decision to make. The other one would be, yeah, relationships. I mean, I have had a couple of pretty long-term relationships. Somehow, it is possible with this lifestyle. I have a lot of, obviously it's not easy, but no relationship is easy anyway. So, you know, I think there were a couple times where I had to make a decision. Is it, do I want to, you know, in this relationship, do I want to, is this important to me to the point where I will stay in one place and just dedicate myself to the relationship and try to have a little bit more stable, less nomadic life? Or is the desire to be out there in the world too much and I can't handle it? So I tried again. I had to think that over quite a lot. And ultimately, you know, in the end, I decided to move on for, you know, for my reasons. I felt that the urge to be out there exploring the world was just too strong. So there are times when it happens, and then you just have to stop and you have to evaluate the situation. I mean, yeah, that's it. You have to ask yourself questions. You have to see what's the most important thing to you. Maybe, you know, what's important changes, and you suddenly are okay with being a little more stable or being in one place with the person that you found. That's perfectly fine. It happens to a lot of people. Maybe you won't. So you just have to evaluate the situation as it comes and make the decision that feels right at the time.
Okay, that's great. And basically, my next one would be, if you could do it totally your style, let's say that you would have a lifestyle that is the way you would want to have it, would you have changed something in let's say in the lifestyle currently that you're having?
Honestly, these days I would say no. I mean, these days right now, this is right. The way it's going right now is exactly what I envisioned, and that I was my main goal. You know, to be able to sort of move around whenever I wanted to wherever I wanted, and to have things going well online. I mean, honestly, the one thing I think about that I would have done different is had maybe a few years earlier than I did have a base. So have a base in one place where I would stay for, say, 3 months, 4 months of the year.
Because I think some of us, while being nomadic, we have some sacrifices or compromises, let's say. You would say that currently you don't really feel there is a compromise, or let's say you made it into a situation that currently you feel like it's right in the place you want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, yes, there's compromises. I don't see my family, I don't see some of my friends as often as I would like to, of course. With that said, or starting the last two or three years, I am able to, if I, you know, suddenly decide I want to go and see my family and friends, I go home and see my family and friends, and it's no problem. So that kind of takes care of that, where, you know, also coming from the U.S., where no matter where I lived here, I would still be many hours flight away from many of my friends and family. So it's not much different if I'm in Europe or somewhere else. It's just a few extra hours on a plane to go see them. So I think, you know, so now that I have the ability to go back, if I want to go back and hang out with friends from home or family, then I can. That's the main sacrifice that I think I had to make in the 14 years was being, spending a lot of time away from family and friends. Now that I can go back when I want, then it's, I think that makes a big difference.
That's great. Okay, so I think you also covered another question that I wanted to ask about the biggest disadvantage of a nomadic lifestyle. So you would say it's pretty much time lost with the people you love.
I would say for some people it's time lost with your family and friends. For other people though, it's definitely not being in the same place all the time. As exciting as that sounds, which I'm sure you know as well, it's a lot harder than people think, than people realize, to constantly have to pack up your stuff to move to a new place, to be sleeping in a different bed, to get to know another city, to meet new people, to deal with a new language, to every possible thing. That is a lot more exhausting and challenging than a lot of people realize. And I think that's actually one of the main reasons that people stop this lifestyle. They didn't realize how challenging and how exhausting it is to constantly be in a new situation. And I think that's something for a lot of people that is one of the bigger sacrifices is just that, just the basic comforts that you don't realize you have at home from being in the same spot all the time.
You know, I think that if someone reaches a position in which they feel like it's a disadvantage, this constant moving, That's really the time to stop, right there.
Is it time to stop or change? That's the other thing too. You have to think. Nomadic lifestyle is not just one thing. It's a constantly changing, fluid existence. So you basically have to, which I make sure I do all the time, every few months, you have to stop. You have to spend some time asking yourself, am I doing right now what I truly want to be doing? Does this all feel right? Am I happy? And you have to ask yourself these questions. And if the answer is no to some of these things, you need to make adjustments. There's a million ways to live this lifestyle, like we said in the beginning. So it's not like if one thing's not working out, you have to pack up and go home. You just have to reevaluate your situation and make some adjustments. I've done it 1,000 times over the years because what I really loved at one point is something suddenly at one point later I didn't enjoy anymore, so I had to adjust. And that's key. If you realize that, if you start to be, I don't like moving around all the time, well, maybe you stay in one place for 6 months of the year and see how that goes. Maybe you don't like it at all, and yes, it is time to go home. But I think constantly, reevaluating and asking yourself questions is very important to make sure that you're as happy as you possibly can be and that you are living the lifestyle that you want.
Nice, because I think... Well, most of us have it really hard to listen to ourselves, So in a way, I guess that non-nomad people as well, they're pretty much locked in what they think they were or are and are not reevaluating the situation all the time. And here you're saying that this constant, constant process of looking into, is this really what I want to do, is really important for a nomad? If not,
yeah. I think it's important for everybody, but like you said, I think if you're set in your normal job, your normal way of life, it's much harder to do because you just believe this is what you need to be doing. So you have much less outside influence that makes you wonder, about other ways of living. So, but if you are a nomad, you've already taken that leap and you've already gotten out there and shown yourself that you can achieve some of your goals in life, as crazy as they may sound to other people, then it's very important to constantly reevaluate because things do change. You're out there in the world. You're going to meet new people. You're going to see new places. It's going to make you think in a different way. So many factors are going to constantly change as a result of travel that you need to always make sure that you're doing exactly what you want. And you need to know that you can change, that you can make small changes, big changes, and in order to take the nomadic lifestyle and mold it to exactly what you want at that particular time. I know mine, it changes all the time for me, which I think is a good thing, because if it didn't change, then that means I'm not reevaluating and I'm getting stuck just like people are back home. So
I've seen some people on the road, I'm pretty sure you've seen them as well, that it looks like they lost their way. They keep on moving, but in a way it feels like they're not enjoying it and they're a little bit disconnecting from life in a way. It's some guy that goes to an hostel and plays solitaire all the time in the computer. You've seen those guys? What do you think that happened over there?
There are people out there that definitely don't reevaluate. They're out there, they're thinking that, well, I said I was going to do this for 2 years, I have to do it for 2 years. I said I was going to travel around, so they believe that the only thing they can do is just push through with their adventure, even though they're not enjoying certain aspects of it anymore. It would be much better if they stopped for a minute and said, what am I enjoying? What am I not enjoying? And then change the way they travel or just go home if it's not for them, because nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it being, you give something a try. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Nothing wrong at all. But I think for a lot of people, they feel it's travel. Wow, I'm out there traveling. You just need to continue no matter what. And you need to finish your goal no matter what, and which I think doesn't make sense. You need to be doing what you feel is the best for you at any time.
Nice. So you're basically saying a recommendation that is between the lines over here is that if someone feels like he wants to have a nomadic lifestyle, not to declare it to everyone, not saying I'm a nomad, just going as you went for a 3 month trip and over there to understand, is it really for you? Because those declarations might be something that actually gets you stuck on something that you don't really want to do.
I get a lot of emails from people that say, hey Earl, I'm in the middle of India and I'm supposed to be traveling for 2 years. It's been 6 months and I'm so tired and I just feel like I'm just not enjoying it as much as I can. And this is crazy. I think I want to go home, but I can't go home. Everyone thinks I'm going to be away for 2 years, so that person, and I always write them, don't matter, just go home, it's fine, you had 6 months, it's great, and sometimes things work differently, but a lot of people will just stay out there, they'll just stay because they feel like they have to do it, so, because that's what they told everyone, they don't want to let people down or let themselves down, but at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you, no matter what. And that's why, yeah, you just go out there and see what it is. Experience a couple different countries, meet some people, try new things, and then see how you like it and go piece by piece. And then you never know. It might last for 3 months, it might last for 3 years, it might last for longer. You never know.
That's cool. Someone asked me, what are you running away from? Which kind of surprised me. If I would ask you what are you running away from, what would you say?
I would say nothing. I mean, I think there are people out there that are running away from stuff, and that this is a good lifestyle, you know, go live in Asia for $10 a day and just hide from any responsibility or problems that you might have at home. I think there are people out there like that. But at the same time, I think that most of the people who ask that question just don't understand that this can be a real lifestyle. They automatically associate travel with, you know, permanent vacation, that you must just be escaping from responsibility back at home. But of course, these are, again, most of them are people that just don't know that you are, that people are shocked when I tell them how much I work. You know, they don't realize that it's a lot of work to keep up this lifestyle, that I'm working just like they're working, and I'm, you know, putting in a ton of time and effort into everything I do just like they're doing. I have challenges just like they have. They just don't realize that. So they don't think, they have a hard time seeing this as an actual lifestyle. They just think it's a permanent vacation or a stage of life that you're going through, and then it'll pass eventually. But, you know, so I think that's sort of where that question stems from. But if you were to ask me, I would say nothing, because if I woke up tomorrow and felt it's time to go home, I would go home. I mean, I'm not running away from anything. It's just, this is what I wake up wanting to do every day, so this is what I'm going to do. And, but I you know, I think that's the problem. Like, a lot of people do ask that question simply because they don't realize that this is an actual lifestyle that people can live.
Yeah, you know what I told the person who asked me? I actually told her, why are you so attached to stay in the same place, or why are you staying for? Which is a good attack. The best defense is attack, by the way. Why are you staying in the same place all your life? So
I mean, that's the thing, you can do it. I think the good news is that it is changing as more and more people are out there. You know, I do meet, you know, less and less people who would ask me that question, or who would feel that what I'm doing is just running away, or that this isn't a real life. So, I mean, that luckily it is changing as more and more people are doing it. And, you know, even people I would never expect are suddenly like, oh, you know, that's cool. Like, yeah, I've heard of other people who are doing that. So you start to hear it is becoming a little more popular enough where hopefully people realize that this is, you know, it's a good choice.
Okay. If you would have to say, let's say, because people are interested to know if they have it in them, and as you said, the best thing to do is just go for it and try. But if you would have to say some characteristics or some things that really imply that this lifestyle is not for you, what would you say those factors are? That if you're like in a certain way, maybe this is not the best.
And if you don't like being put. Uncomfortable situations outside of your comfort zone, then it's probably not for you. That's a major thing, because obviously travel, you're in different situations that you've never been in before, and you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to be outside your comfort zone quite a lot. So I think that's one major thing. Another thing, if you don't really like people or love people, it's going to be a big challenge. Mm. I mean, you can travel, but I think, you know, a lot of travelers realize pretty quickly that, you know, the best part about traveling is the people that you meet, and if you don't like people, then that's going to be pretty hard to have a rewarding travel experience, I would say. So I would say the people, and not being afraid to be outside your comfort zone, and I would also say, you know, you need to be pretty determined, and you need to be pretty, you know, you can't be afraid to be creative as well. I mean, if you really want to make this kind of lifestyle happen, you know, you don't snap your fingers and it happens, unfortunately. You do have to put in some effort to make it happen. You're well aware of this, I'm well aware of this. And so you can't be afraid to sit down and be like, wow, I need to really work hard to make this happen. And you got to be creative, because this is not normal. I mean, it is not, you know, the majority of people do choose the more traditional path. And again, as we were saying, that if you contacted 10 people who are living this lifestyle, they're all doing it in a different way. And that's because they have to sit down and think of what they're good at. What can they do? What can they offer? And creatively reach a conclusion as to how they can turn their skills, their knowledge into an income source or a way to survive while traveling. So if you gotta like people, you can't be afraid to be outside your comfort zone, and you also you have to be willing to put in the effort and to get creative. I would say that's the main core that I generally talk about as that people need if they really want to make this lifestyle happen.
Nice. I usually add to this, those are really in place. Usually add to this something about if you miss things a lot, let's say, and if you find separations difficult, this might also be a problem, right? Something like
that. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, if you're used to, or you really, not if you're used to, but if you actually love or need to see family, friends every day, every week, you know, and you really can't imagine being apart from them, yeah, it is very difficult. I mean, luckily, again, though, you can be creative and you can be, okay, maybe your nomadic lifestyle is, you know, you spend 3 months overseas somewhere, 3 months back home, 3 months over. I mean, so again, if you are creative, you can still even get around it by making, you know, by creating your own nomadic lifestyle in its own shape. But yeah, that is tough, obviously, if you can't be away from certain people for a long time.
Okay. Next question would be, there is some kind of a spiritual element here, and as you've just returned from India, so India is all about spirituality, but many of the people, let's say most of the nomads, for them it's all about the fun and the experience and everything, and I think this might be spirituality in a way, but can you feel, or it's a little bit of a tough question, but is there something, I don't even know how to define spirituality, but is there something in this lifestyle that has to do with spirituality?
I mean, that's a tough one. I think, again, everybody is different. Like you said, a lot of people are just out there to have fun. A lot of people are out there just to travel. A lot of, I mean, everybody has their own thing. I mean, but you do connect, you know, in order to truly enjoy this lifestyle, I will say that you do, you know, you do connect to yourself. Like you know, it's a pretty amazing feeling to have a goal that a lot of people think are crazy and to actually go out and achieve it. And when you achieve a goal like that, especially this kind of a lifestyle, and you suddenly are out there like, wow, I have some freedom, I can see the world, I can, you know, I can make this happen. There is some obviously spiritual connection there because you are, it's just a feeling that many of us don't have, and you are suddenly like everything is in tune, everything is working together, everything has, you know, you've made it happen. I mean, it's really it's a pretty undescribable feeling for people, because most people living at home don't sort of set forth and try to tackle their biggest goals in life. And to actually tackle quite a goal like this and to achieve it, I mean, that's the best I can say, is that on some level, there is some spiritual connection just to the point of you've made this happen, and the feeling is such that it's unlike any other.
That's great. You also talked about a little bit about the change and the new places and the new experience. In a way, it's some kind of awakening, constant awakening process.
Yeah, it is constant. I mean, that's the thing, and it is different for everyone. But yeah, I mean, like, for me, I love showing up in a new place. To me, the feeling of being in a new place that I've never been, and just watching all the people go around, and the just smelling the different foods, or just seeing the different money, or just to see this whole new place that I've never experienced before. To me, it's an unbelievable experience that, you know, I couldn't have back home. So yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Okay. As for the question of when will you stop, we talked a little bit about it, and it looks like you're really self-aware of yourself. So if I get it correctly, you will stop if you find something worthwhile to stop for.
Yeah, I mean, if I woke up tomorrow and I was just like, you know what, I'm done. I just feel like, you know what, there's something else I want to do. It requires a more stable life. The travel isn't exciting to me anymore. If that's how I felt tomorrow, I would stop tomorrow. Simple as that. Until that happens, I'll definitely continue, because right now when I wake up in the morning, I'm excited to continue traveling. I mean, I'm here right now in the U.S., but visiting family and friends, but I'm pretty excited about, you know, the next places I'm going to go in a few weeks. So, and at the same time, though, I am open. I mean, I know how life works. Life constantly changes. I'm not one to say I'm going to travel forever. That we don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, I work on a lot of projects, a lot of different things, and who knows where they lead, and some might require me at some point. There might be a project I work on that I absolutely love that requires me to be in one place for a long period of time. And maybe at that time, I'll make the decision that that's more important than continuing to travel at that point. So I think it's, you know, it's hard for me to say, but I'm open to any changes just because I know change happens all the time. And but at the end of the day, it all comes down to me doing what I feel is best for myself at that time. And if that at some point is stopping the travel or you know, reducing it by quite a lot, then that's what I would do. But until then, I'll keep on going.
Great. It has to do also with you know, our life story. In a way, people are defining us now as nomadic. Our, let's say, our closest ties, they know, let's say, about me and my lifestyle. And I'm thinking, will it be a problem to tell them, hey, I stopped? And especially as you're a very successful travel blogger. It feels like in the sphere of travel blogging, there are some people that are a little bit, correct me if I'm wrong, there are some people that are a little bit so much into the story that they're afraid to stop, although it feels like they should stop, but everything is based on the story and also the financial aspects and the social aspects. So you, first of all, do you think it's true that there are some people that just continue because they have to? And do you think you're immune to this effect of creating a story and just stopping?
I think the problem is that yes, if you're traveling and you're a travel blogger and you put all of your effort into creating something that can only exist if you're traveling, That's a tough situation to be in, because like you said, if your whole thing, if you're earning income or everything is just your travel blog, yeah, obviously you have to travel, or else the travel blog is not going to do well and you're not going to be able to earn money. And, you know, I think that's a problem. I feel very lucky that early on I realized that yes, having a travel blog is fantastic, but I also need to work on other projects. I need to also be making sure that there are other things going on in my life that are helping me sustain my way of life, that if I did decide to stop travel, I could still work on and it wouldn't affect anything. So that all of my income is not wrapped up in just one thing that requires me to travel all the time. And I think that's sort of unfortunately that's what a lot of people don't realize, and that a lot of travel bloggers just put everything into the travel blog. And then yes, take away the travel, there is no travel blog, there's no travel blog, there's the income, there's the lifestyle. So I think, you know, you kind of have to, like I was saying, there's a million ways to make it happen. You have to have your hands in about, you know, many different things as well. I mean, I'm constantly working on new projects. Most don't work, some do. But you kind of have to have that vision that one day you might stop. And if you stop, how are you going to survive? And that way you can kind of create something, start creating something while you're out there being nomadic. You can still create something that you would be able to work on if the traveling did stop. So I think, you know, that vision is kind of important. And yes, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't think that way, and it becomes almost impossible for them to stop if they want to earn money.
It will stop one day, but only in their last day. So there is always a full stop, which is nice.
It's very common, you know, just one day the blog is done, and they go home and get a normal job, because that's really the only option. So, I mean, that happens a lot. There's plenty of blogs that do pretty well, but then when the person decides it's finally time to stop, that's the end of the blog, they just go home and head back to a more traditional life, because that's really the only option they have. So I think that's, you know, that's something that, it's something to try to avoid if you can make a more, you know, more diverse plan where you have, you know, projects that you could work on without travel, then that obviously helps.
Nice. So let's go for the last question then. And the last question is, what interests people the most? You probably know what it's going to be. I have to say that in my blog, I totally avoid it. And people ask me, and I'm going to give a clue about what it's going to be. Yeah, but how do you sustain yourself? And I keep on putting posts about the advantages of nomadic lifestyle, because this is something that I feel like, I don't know, I don't really connect to it, because I did it in my own entrepreneurial way. And as you said, there are millions of ways of doing it. I'm just going to say as an introduction here, that you have a great post on your blog about how to generate money while being on the move. And this is something that really bothers a lot of people. So there are so many resources about it, which is great. And Earl has a great thread over there, a great article about it. But if you would say, let's say a real quick summary of someone who is totally clueless and wants to sustain themselves while having a nomadic lifestyle, what would you say basically?
just have to get started. What I always tell people is that there are so many opportunities out there, but at the same time, you're not going to know about 99.9% of them until you actually get out there into the world. It's impossible. You can research all you want back at home. You can try to find ways to earn money back at home. You're gonna make very little progress just because it's just not out there. I mean, you have to actually get out there into the world. You have to meet people. You have to see how they're living the life. You get new ideas. You have to be in places that'll suddenly inspire you to find a way to make money. I mean, you have to be creative, but it's really hard to find a way until you're actually out there in those locations. So I think my advice is always just get started. Whether that means, I don't know, getting a working holiday visa to Australia or New Zealand, go there for a few months, whether it means go to Europe, pick a country in Europe and just try to work at a cafe just to make enough money to survive for a few months, whether it means go teach English somewhere or go teach any language in anywhere, you know, go take your guitar and go to Mexico and, you know, advertise online that you can give guitar lessons or advertise at universities. I mean, there's so many ways. I mean, that's just randomness that came out of my head right now, but just get out there and get started. Once you get started, pick one place, stay there for a few months, get started, and then you will see. I know it's hard to believe now, but once you do get started, you will suddenly, the ideas will just start coming to you as you see more and more people and the way they live their life, the way they're able to survive. And before you know it, you'll realize that actually anything, it really is possible and that there are opportunities all over the world for you to get the start. Then you slowly build from there. You know, once you get that, you're out there, you now are confident, then you can kind of take a look. Look at your skills, look at your knowledge, look at everything you know how to do, and then you can start to figure out, okay, this person I met, he's able to do this. This girl, she was able to do this. Okay, how can I take this and turn it into something as well? And then you can make it happen. So, but the key is definitely getting out there. If you don't get out there and just do anything to get started, it's going to be very hard to find that confidence and motivation to make it happen.
Great. So, so if I sum it up a little bit, just do it instead of thinking about it. And also, we come back to the point that you mentioned before in another aspect. If you know yourself, you know if it's good for you and you know when to stop, and you also know what you do well. And when you know what you love to do and do well, then you're pretty much going to be okay if you're just going to go for it. So those are really great tips. And Earl, thanks a lot. You're a source of inspiration. I really recommend your blog, wanderinggirl.com.
And I appreciate that very much.
Appreciate the time you've given us.
Thanks for having me on.